song, it is written.
Wasn't it wonderful just to hear our kids singing that song? Incredible words, and I don't see them. But praise God for VBS and Debbie and her team. I hope that you'll take the time to thank them at some point. I know that I will. Debbie has asked me to serve the Lord by going into the dunk tank after church. So it is my endeavor to keep you here so long that that never happens. So go ahead and open your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. And we'll just go ahead and walk through this. No, it's my privilege to serve in that way, he says now. Words hurt. And our church is made up of imperfect human beings, led by imperfect human beings. And sometimes church people hurt each other with their words. God knows that. And God has given the church a wonderful command. God has given the church a wonderful command because he loves us. This command is designed to protect us. It is designed to bless us. This command from God is a blessing for the church. Would you please open your Bibles with me to Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29. And stand with me as we read the Word of God. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray that God would open your heart and soften your heart? And would you pray that from the beauty of his word, he would speak to you today? Now would you pray for the other people in this room? Pray that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, and from the beauty of his word, pray that God would speak to them today. Now, would you kindly pray for me that I would preach accurately and therefore powerfully? Heavenly Father, I pray this prayer every Sunday morning before my sermon, but for this morning, it has special meaning. So I pray again, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. Paul starts out and he says, "Do not allow any unwholesome word out of your mouth." The word unwholesome is the Greek word sapros. Sapros. It's on the back of your notes. It means corrupt, bad, rotten. This Greek word sapros was used to describe rotten fruit or decaying animal flesh. Maybe you've let fruit sit too long in your house and it goes bad. That is sapros. You're driving along and you see an animal that's been killed on the side of the road, and it's been there for weeks, and it's beginning to decay, and it's putrid. That is sapros. Brothers and sisters, unchristian words are corrupt. They are putrid. They are rotten. They are sapros. Words that tear people down are sapros. They're rotten. They're putrid. They are stinking words. And Paul says it is improper. It is improper for a Christian to speak like that. Do not even let them out of your mouth. Look at the verse. Paul says, let no unwholesome word, sapros, rotten, putrid, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. The word proceed, again, on the back of your notes, ekporumai, to go or to go out. In Matthew 15, the Pharisees condemn Jesus' disciples for not washing their hands when they eat. Jesus teaches them something very important at this moment. They come to Jesus and they say, your disciples don't wash their hands. They're not being OCD. It's a religious law that they're not following. Jesus teaches us something very important. Look on the screen, Matthew 15. Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. Those defile the man, for out of the heart come evil thoughts. Out of the heart come murders. Out of the heart come adulteries. Out of the heart come fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Number one in your notes, corrupt words come from a corrupt heart. Corrupt words come from a corrupt heart. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit has come to live inside your heart and clean out the source of your words? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's words are life-giving. Number two in your notes, God's words are life-giving. God's words are life-giving. The famous verse, Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but what do we live on, brothers and sisters of Trinity? What do we live on? Every word that proceeds, same Greek word as in Ephesians 4:29. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Our kids sing, it is written. Christ's words are gracious words. Look at Luke on the screen. In all were speaking well of him, that is our Lord, wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. They were saying, is this not Joseph's son? God's words are life-giving, and our words can be also, because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We are God's children. Here's a question for those of you that are married. When you are with your spouse and you're angry or hurt and words are forming in your mind that are not loving, God commands you, do not let them out. You're with another brother or sister in Christ. You're with someone that's a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, and you're angry, you're frustrated, you're hurt, and words are forming in your mind that are not loving. God commands you in Ephesians 4:29, do not let them out. Do not let them out. When I was a boy, my dad would change his own oil on our cars, and he taught me to do the same. And we would pour the oil into the drip pan, and then my dad would have me carry it very, very carefully. And we would put it into buckets and we would store it until there was a dump day or whatever. And I can remember having that pan of oil full and I'm walking so slowly. And my dad, who was very good at letting me try things, he didn't overprotect, he didn't overlead. He wanted me to try, and it was okay if I failed, because that's how you grow. And I would be carrying it, and he would say, don't spill it. Don't spill it. And I think of my own heart and the words that are in there, and they're rotten. And as I'm walking around interacting with my family and other people, I can sense the Holy Spirit saying, don't spill that. Don't let that out. Maybe you've seen at the theater or in TV, maybe you've seen those monster movies where some mummy or some zombie or some horrible thing comes to life and he's crawling around, and the actors trap him behind a door or a wall or in a box or something, and they, don't let him out, don't let him out, don't let him out. And I just want to remind you, brothers and sisters, that those unkind words that form in your heart, don't let them out. Number three in your notes, a Christian must not allow a corrupt word to come out of his or her mouth. Can you do that in your own strength? No, you cannot. So I want to give you a prayer on the screen behind me. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Beautiful prayer for you and I to pray. Look at the verse again. Ephesians 4:29. Paul says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, Edification, the Greek word is oikademe, it means to build something. Oikademe means to build something, like you build a house or you build a bridge. Jesus uses a different form of the same word, edification, in his famous story when he talks about two men. One built a house on the sand, one built a house on the rock. The word edification means to build something. Look how Paul uses it in Romans 14:19. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Romans 15:2. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good to his edification. Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 talks about spiritual gifts. And in the Men's Leadership Institute, we learn to ask a very simple question. When we approach a text of Scripture, we ask this question: what's the point? It's the interpretive question. You look at 1 Corinthians 14 talking about spiritual gifts, and you ask yourself, what's the point? And the point is this: spiritual gifts should be used to build up one another. 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about the authority he has as an apostle. And I'd like to ask everyone here today who is in spiritual authority of some kind to look at 2 Corinthians 10:13-10. Paul says this: for this reason I'm writing these things while absent, so that when present I need not use severity, in accordance with the authority the Lord gave me for building up and not for tearing down. Paul says, God gave me spiritual authority to build you up, not to tear you down. A very important verse about the church, and a passage that Trinity Baptist Church should be based on. You ask yourself, what should the church be? What should the church look like? What should the church do? One of the key passages is Ephesians 4. You're already in Ephesians 4, so just look at the beginning and follow along with me at verse 11. This is what the church is, and what the church does, and what the church should look like. Ephesians 4:11. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. What's a mature man look like? What's the standard? To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But look at it, Trinity Baptist. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's what we're here for. Paul says over and over again that the church should build each other up. And so you have number 4 in your notes. The only words that should ever come out of a Christian's mouth are words that build up others. The only words that should ever come out of a Christian's mouth are words that build up others. Brothers and sisters, again, let me talk to people who are married. Whenever you're with your spouse, whenever you are with your spouse, especially in a moment of conflict, it is an opportunity to use your words to build them up. Are you committed to that? Whenever you are with another brother or sister in Christ, brothers and sisters, whenever you are with each other, especially if it is a moment of conflict, it is a wonderful opportunity to build each other up. Are you committed to that? Are you committed to that? We're going to stop right now. I'm not through yet. But this is very, very, very important. I want to ask you to turn to the person next to you and pray that God would fill us with Him. Pray that God would fill us with His Spirit so that whenever we are with each other, our controlling desire would be to build each other up. Turn to the person next to you, please, right now, and pray that for our church. Heavenly Father, we come before you today as Trinity Baptist Church, your body, your bride, your children. We pray, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that whenever we are with each other, our controlling desire would be to build each other up. Oh, set us free, oh God, from bitterness. Set us free from pride. Set us free from selfishness. And may we be overjoyed by the fact that we are led and controlled by Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Look at the verse again, please. Ephesians 4:29. Paul says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment." We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need each other. I need you. I need you. And you need each other. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:20 through 21 on the screen behind me. "But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' We need each other. And we are called to meet each other's needs. Look at 1 John 3 behind me. "Whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." Paul uses the same exact word, need, in the verse right before our key verse today, Ephesians 4:28, "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need." Sometimes what your brother and sister need is a word. Sometimes what your fellow Christian needs is a word. My father was a fireman, and he had a fireman friend that lived down the street from us. And my dad retired before this guy did. My dad was retired at the time that this happened. And I got in a big argument with my dad, and I was older, I was not an adult, could have been 18, I suppose. But I got in an argument with my dad, and I lost it. I lost it. I had too much respect for my dad to yell and scream and curse him in some way. So I just left. We're arguing, and I just went out the door, slammed the door, and started down the street. And I was seething. And this guy was out washing his car. Dave Duckett, he had an old El Camino. It was really, really a great truck. Anyway, that's trivial. He was out washing his car, his truck, El Camino. And I passed by, and I must have been trying not to cry. I must have been walking fast. I must have been breathing heavy, fire coming out my nose. I was really mad. And I passed by, and this guy was my dad's friend. And he said, "David, what's wrong?" "My dad, he's so unfair, whatever." And the guy says, "Come here. Come here." His car is wet, maybe soap. He just said, in that moment, he said, "My friend's son is more important than my vehicle." He said, "Come here." He sat me down. He said, "Tell me all about it." So I vented. No doubt in my mind that I was totally wrong and my dad was right. And he said, "You know, I'll never forget it." He said, "Your dad loves you. He loves you. And the reason he said what he said is because he loves you. He has your best interests at heart. Why don't you just go back and walk back in the house and say, 'Dad, we don't agree, but I know you love me, and I love you too.'" I will never forget that as long as I live. In the moment, he said exactly what I needed to hear to build me up. And that's what we are called to do. That's what we are called to do. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. I've been here coming up on 17 years here at Trinity Baptist Church, and I cannot tell you, I cannot count how many times I have felt discouraged. I have felt like a failure. I have felt like I wasn't helping anybody. And one of you comes up to me and out of the blue says, "Pastor, you preached on this, and oh, it helped me so much. Or Pastor, I know you're praying for me. Or Pastor, you did this. Or Pastor, you did that. Or Pastor, the church helped me. Or the elders did this. Or the deacons did this. Or the Mike did this. Or the youth ministry." One of you so many times comes up to me and gives me exactly what I needed to hear. To press on. To keep serving the Lord. And that's exactly what we need to be doing. Some of you, out of a heart of love, have come up to me and shown me where I am wrong. I am so grateful for you. I am so grateful that you love me enough to do that. And that's what we're called to do. Some of you have come up to me and just given me God's perspective on my situation. I'm so grateful for you. Some of you have just come to me and given me the encouragement I need to press on, to keep serving the Lord, and I'm so grateful for you, and that is what we are supposed to do. The church is called to use our words to build each other up because we need each other. If you don't do it, who's gonna? If you don't build up your brother and sister in Christ, are they going to be built up out there? They need you. They need you to do it. I want you to think about a time right now when a brother or sister in Christ spoke the words you needed to hear to build you up. Aren't you thankful for that person? By the way, the scriptures equip you to build people up. The scriptures equip you to build people up. If you are regularly filling your mind and heart with scripture, you are armed and ready to build people up. Number 5 in your notes. We must fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God so that we can build others up with His Word. We must fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God so that we can build others up with His Word. Please look at the verse with me one last time. And we're going to answer the question, why? Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Why? But only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. Why? So that it will give grace to those who hear. That is the purpose. That is the reason. That is the whole point. The reason why we are not to let any unwholesome words out of our mouth. The reason our words are to build people up. The purpose is to give grace to each other. That's what we are called to do. Number 6 in your notes. Just as God gave us grace, we are to give each other grace. Just as God gave us grace, we are to give each other grace. Grace is the Greek word charis. It's the famous Greek word for grace. It is the Greek word for grace. All of the verses about grace that talk about salvation, that talk about God's grace, they all use the word charis. It means kindness, goodwill, generosity, compassion. When you give someone grace with your words, it means you have mercy on them and show kindness and compassion to them by speaking words that are helpful and beneficial to them. We give grace to each other by speaking words that are helpful and beneficial to them. Jesus is full of grace. John 1:14, behind me on the screen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. We are saved by grace. Romans 3:24, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:20, the law came in so that transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace, God's mercy, God's favor, God's benefit to us, God's compassion, God's kindness, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Ephesians 2:8, by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. We are to give each other grace. God pours His grace on us. We do not deserve it. We deserve wrath, we deserve anger, we deserve punishment, but instead we get grace. God's amazing favor toward us. How could we possibly not give each other grace, even when we don't deserve it? Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you know how you should respond to each person. Non-point source pollution is when a lake is polluted from the source. Snow melt, rainfall runs down through the mountains toward the lake, and on its journey, it is polluted by animals or man. Therefore, the lake becomes polluted from the source. That's called non-point source pollution. If my words are polluted, if your words are polluted, it is source pollution. Our words are polluted at the source, Trinity Baptist, the heart. Jesus says our words come from our heart. Remember point number one? Corrupt words come from a corrupt heart. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 15:18? The things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. So what's the solution? If my corrupt words come from my heart, the solution is repentance. Repentance. You and I must change our mind about sin. I must understand that every time I say something unchristian, it is rotting, filthy, corrupted junk in my heart spilling out. Every time I say something unchristian, it is the sapros, the rotting, putrid stuff in my heart spilling out. And by the way, let me just say this quickly. I won't harp on this. But every time you post something on Facebook that is unchristian, you are taking the filthy, rotten, putrid junk in your heart and posting it on your wall for everyone to see. Look at what's in my heart. We must decide to forsake it. We must hate the sin in our heart. We must hate the sin in our heart. We must forsake it and ask God to clean us up from the source. If you've ever heard Michael Tyler's testimony, there are several parts to it. But the part I'm reminded of is when he says, I used to have a filthy mouth. I used to cuss out the coaches, and I used to cuss out the players, and I used to cuss out the referees. And I don't do it anymore because I have awesome willpower. That's not what he said. Let me see if I can remember it. I've heard it several times. Michael, I'll get it right. I used to cuss out the coaches, and I used to cuss out the players, and I used to cuss out the referees, and I don't do it anymore because I am so strong, and I just can hold it in. Whew. That's not it. You listen to Michael, and he says, I used to cuss out the players, and I used to cuss out the coaches, and I used to cuss out the referees, and I don't do it anymore because Jesus Christ cleaned it out of my heart. That's his testimony. I want to invite you to pray again. But this time, don't turn to the person next to you. Just stop right now. And just you pray, just you and God. I'm going to give you a few minutes. And I want you to ask God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, to clean the junk out of your heart. You pray right now. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would touch Trinity Baptist Church. Give us a hatred for all that is corrupt and a love for all that is pure, for all that is righteous, for all that is clean, for all that is holy. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would do a work of repentance in our heart, that we would forsake the junk and embrace all that is of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're here today and you have never invited Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. I want to tell you something very clearly. You will never clean up your heart on your own. It is impossible. You need help. Please come and talk to the elders. We'll be right there for just a few minutes. Help, come and let us explain to you how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, how he can come to live in your heart, and he can clean you up from the inside out.